by side of the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, gals and ghouls, teens, queens, guys in blue jeans, you guys over there by the shop bench, come in and join us on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, and my fabulous, talented co-host, Chris Switzer.
Where? I don't know. I don't see any talented anything.
You just climbed out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
He owes me money. Get him back, damn it.
How are you, Ray?
Good,
how's everything
Chris.
Going? This fine countdown before Christmas. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm behind the eight ball as usual, of course, on the Christmas stuff.
Oh, boy.
More so.
Why? You're Mr. Efficiency behind the eight ball? Come on.
Yeah, well, because of the situations we're living in, it's not as easy to go out and do shopping and
who went out?
I've done some online stuff, don't get me wrong.
Who went out? I didn't go out. I picked up the credit card. I started tap dancing on the keyboard. Oh, yeah. And you look, you go, "Oh, she wants that. She wants that. She wants that."
Right.
Here's the number.
So I did some of that, but I still have to get out to the stores to do a few other things that have to be looked at, I guess. And so actually me and one of my daughters, we're going to go out tomorrow and do some of that. So
right. We'll
take care of it. You know, we're arranging food for Christmas Eve. You know, we got all, it's an Italian household, semi-Italian household. So it's always a food fest, if you will.
Yes, but now just a question on food, since you brought it up. Are you going to maintain the fine upstanding honor that you possess, making and creating and sculpting the world's heaviest lasagna?
Yes, I will be. I will. That's a tradition that's been in my family. I make my – it looks like the GM proving ground in my kitchen, because I literally take over and make an assembly line out of every – inch of counter space.
Yes, and you also, there's also like there's mufflers in there, and there's fenders and hoods, and you have all kinds of stuff to weigh that thing down. I think the pan alone, I know you can't use a regular tin pan, you have to use one of those quarter inch steel.
We had to use a diamond plate cookie sheet underneath.
right, a pickup truck bed is sliding into the oven even as we speak.
A forklift. We had a little Kubota forklift. We put it back away. We don't use it again until next year, but we use it for stuff like that. I should use it for the amount of ice that the stupid plow driver left in front of my house for me that I can't move.
This guy,
I order. But
you know, when I lived in Brooklyn, talk about plowing snow. When I lived in Brooklyn, the plow would always plow, what would you say, to the right. And this is what they do in the boroughs. I don't know why they picked the right over the left, but I lived on the other side. I lived on the left-hand side of the block.
Okay.
So when the plow would come down, we would always throw all the snow in the street. All the guys on the left side of the block would throw all their snow in the street, and all the guys on the right-hand side would get it all.
Sure.
It would literally cover up their driveways, and oh man, it was always a cat call every time, because the plow would go down the block and everybody, "You dirty old YI auto," they'd be shaking their fist at us, and we're like,
"Yeah, sure." Absolutely.
So it was always a lot of fun, and a lot of times they got back at me personally because I had two driveways to maintain.
Right.
In Brooklyn, New York, that is unheard of.
Right.
But that we had at the time, we had two driveways. So I'd be breaking my back shoveling, and they'd be across the street going, "Hey, how's your back, Chris? Hey, how's that shovel? You break the handle on that thing yet?" You know, they would say a lot more off-color things, but you get the idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else. We don't have two. We only have one of it. It's a phone number, and people can call us at 516-256-9510.
Write it down.
And I will tell you a little story. This is something that I posted this week. Of course, people can follow us on our social media platforms on Twitter, the web, and Facebook. It's Motor Mouth Radio. And on Instagram, it's real_MotorMouthRadio, Joe's favorite.
Yes.
And I had to prepare, you know, I have two snowblowers. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a little two-stroke, the kind you push, it's got an auger on it that kind of wipes the sidewalk. It's good for anything up to like 6 or 8 inches or maybe even a little more of light, fluffy snow.
Light and fluffy. There's the key word. Go right ahead. Yes.
Yes. It doesn't do well in the thick and slushy or the icy, which is what we got.
Yes, you did too. We heard the news weatherman talking about light and fluffy, and I'm like, he can go and stick it in his shorts because it was not light and fluffy by all means. Yes.
So I have another one that's the big Mama Luke,
right?
Which I really have a funny story about that I want to recount. That happened many years ago, but it's still a good learning lesson for people.
It's a refrigerator with a hopper on the front of it.
This thing is it's a four-stroke, two-stage, 5-7-speed Mama Luke. I mean, I don't – and the God's honest truth is it's – of course, you bury that thing in the back of the shed because there's years I don't even use it.
Right, know? Right.
But now the problem is in my shed, there's doors and car doors in front of it. So I didn't even think about taking it out because they weren't talking that kind of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have used it, though, with this heavy, slushy crap that we had.
I'm sure you could have.
But anyway, I took the little two-stroke out of the other shed, brought it into the garage, and said, okay, let me see if I can get it running. Last time I remembered, I did store it correctly. Mm-hmm. And that's I'll give you the takeaway first. I don't know if you should never take your own advice, never take our advice. Because I took my own advice.
I never take our advice. What are you kidding me?
I took my own advice, and when I stored that thing, I guess it's like at least 2 years ago, I run StarTron in with the gas, even on a two-stroke, you can use it with the oil. And then as the thing was running out, I gave it straight StarTron, let it die, and then I left the cap off the tank so that everything would dry, and put it away.
Good.
So this year, I put some fuel in it, made a 40-to-1 mix, fuel and oil. Literally, you know, the electric this thing was a refugee from Hurricane Sandy.
Oh.
Okay. My friend John, Honda John, had called me back in 2012 and said, hey,
would you find it in your yard? It blew in? What did you do?
Could have. Well, John said to me, no, my good friend Danny, stuff was floating past his house. He lives down on the water. And he says, look, I know you like these little two-stroke jobs because I had one before and I gave it to you.
Yeah, but what about the snowblower?
Yeah, that's a whole other story. I gave him my old one to use at his parents' place in Brooklyn, in fact, because they had a place in Canarsie.
Right.
And, he said, I know you like these things, and I came across one. Danny had sent it to John and said it was it was floating during Sandy.
It really was.
Yeah, it literally was, because they're kind of buoyant and light. And
I was only kidding.
Yeah. Because I played with it. It sounds like it'll start. The electric starter is toast because it was, you know, submerged in salt water.
Sure.
So I took it, played with it, got it running. And I've been using it without the electric start. Mm-hmm. So, face it, this thing's life, it's been dead for 8 years already as far as
everything else. Yeah, it's on borrowed time. Yes.
Yeah, so like everything else I own, I revived it. It's, you know, I gave it CPR and I hit it with the paddles. And
right. It lives.
So, you know, I was going to replace it last year or this year, but these things are going for like $500-$600 with an electric start. I just didn't feel like spending the dough.
Yeah.
So I put gas in it this year, prime it, couple of pulls, boom, it starts right up. I'm like, beautiful.
Life is good.
Until I saw the puddle forming underneath it of gasoline.
Oh, no.
So I pull the bottom panel off. It's about 12 screws, and I see gas coming from the bowl, the carburetor bowl, and from the carburetor to intake manifold union. It's just pissing out. So
the gaskets are dried out, right?
Well, that's what happened. I put it up on the workbench, took it apart, and found that although everything inside was pristine and not gummed up from ethanol because I stored it correctly,
sure.
What I've told many people will happen did happen. And the bowl gasket and the other gasket just shrunk, dried up and shrunk.
Sure. You know? Sure.
So that's now it's the day before the snow, and I need a bowl gasket and or rebuild kit for a little Tecumseh carburetor, and you find them online everywhere, but you know it ain't coming overnight. I'm not paying for overnight.
No, and you know your average auto parts store or Tractor Supply or even an established auto parts store or Tractor Supply will probably not have this thing in stock hanging on a blister pack on a hook somewhere. No.
I did go to Home Depot and look there.
Oh, fat chance there. Yeah, well, no, right.
Because I know they have small engine stuff, and they have a lot of stuff for Hondas because I think they sell Hondas.
Yeah, right next to the Christmas tree air fresheners. No, yeah. I would not. That would definitely not be a promising place to find it.
That was the one stop. The one.
One.
One. One that I made. Came home, and then I started. Then I looked for locals. Now, some of the small engine shop I used in the town next to me, I knew the guys. They closed up a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
They're gone. So right. I found a couple, and I went to one that was in fairly close proximity, and you know, the guy wasn't even open, really. But he took care of me and another fella, and he sold me the little rebuild kit, which had the bowl gasket.
Oh, wow.
The bolt on the bottom, the seat for the needle seat, which is very important, and a needle valve. And it was like, all right, $15. I'm like, okay.
Sold.
I could have got a carburetor on eBay for $11. And, of course, I came home. And I took the bag with the part number, and I Googled that name and number. And, of course, I found out that exact part on Amazon for, like, $2.85. I was like, all right, you know what? You can't.
You got it.
Because I got it. I put the thing in. The thing ran. And it all was well. So the lesson is, you know, if you're going to store something, be prepared that even though you did the right thing in storing it, it may not start and run right the next time because of shrinkage.
Shrinkage and leakage.
George Costanza in the pool. Right.
Shrinkage and leakage. What we're known for here at Motormouth Radio.
But I will say, if people want to see the pictures, they can go to any of the social media sites or our Facebook page, and they could see it because the post went up last week, and you know, you get an idea what's up there. And I'm going to see the people from. I use the Berkable, the 2+2 gum cutter, is the carburetor cleaner of choice that I've used for 30 years.
Right. Okay. I never heard of it. 2+2 gum cutter.
Yeah. It's
don't tell me you have it. Don't tell me you have it within your purview somewhere. Yeah. All you have to do is just get up. I know. Ray does this all the time. I don't know how in the heck he does this. He finds things are within reach wherever we are. And of course, our internet know-it-all finds it online.
All right.
There's a shot of it. It's called 2+2 Instant Gum Cutter.
Yeah, that's it. So, of course,
I don't want to flip those two first letters around, though.
No.
Just got to say this right. Gum cutter.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. And you had to put that in my head. So I'm going to see if I can get a person from this company, from Berkable, because they make other products that are really good. See if I can get them on the show.
Yeah.
And but I sent them a message the other day, and they apparently they don't work or reply to social media on weekends because they didn't get back to me. So we'll see during the week if they get back, we'll have somebody on and talk about this. Because this stuff, you know, it's like everything else that we like to talk about and use. I use it because it works.
Yeah, no, I agree. It looks like it works.
This formulation is much more environmentally friendly. So just so you know.
That's it. Ooh, what was that? What was that? The last one.
Same thing.
Oh, you got two cans.
I just went and I cleared the shelf. I have a case of this stuff sitting there.
Now tell me, what is the difference? Now we're talking about some ancient technology here, carburetor cleaner. Now I use what I like to call my brand of choice when it comes down to carburetor cleaner is the stuff on sale.
Okay.
That's what I use. So all the stuff I find in the dollar store. So if it's like Gum Out or if it's any of that type, even if it's ABC brand, whatever it is, Acme, carburetor cleaner, I don't care. It's to me, it's all the same. So please tell me, enlighten me, why is the 2+2 gum cutter
Yes.
They're right, gum cutter.
Correct.
Why is that,
you know,
better than the average carburetor cleaner?
I didn't claim that it was, and I wouldn't claim it was, because I've used gum out in the past. I think what happened is somewhere back, late 70s, early 80s, I found this stuff in the auto parts store that I use and used it and saw that it worked so well, I just stuck with it. And now I buy it by the case, you know, and I just use what works. And it's not that I wouldn't use something else, and I'm sure the other stuff works fine.
Yeah, I would figure that there would be something appealing to you that it does, that maybe do you use a lot less of it? Because there are a lot of times I'll take gum out and you'll be spraying the living heck out of something and it's cleaning, but you need like half the amount of sprays with the 2+2. I don't know.
I'll tell you this stuff, if like the outside of the carburetor had a little bit of like that greasy residue, the black stuff, and you just hit it a little bit with the spray and it just, it's gone. I mean, this stuff really, really works well. So.
Interesting. No, very cool. Because I'll try it. I'll give it a shot. I mean, it's so funny because we are still talking about carburetor cleaner. When was the last time carburetors were actually produced on vehicles? I mean, yeah, they're still produced on small engines, but do you really need carburetor cleaner now on a small engine? I think I'm the last one that can honestly say.
I use them for other things too. If you do any machining or you want to.
Yeah.
Just if you want to clean metal parts, this stuff is available. It's an aerosol. I've actually taken parts that were really gunked up and sprayed some of this stuff into a little bowl, if you will, so I'd have a level of it, and then just dunk the little parts in it and just let them sit.
Yes, our internet know-it-all wants to know if we could use Mother Switzer's I think it would seize the needle and seat. It would just melt them both together in your carburetor. But no, I think I truly am the only individual that has solved carburetor problems with my small engine on my snowblower with strictly carburetor cleaner, because I have taken the carburetor off and have cleaned it and put it back on and got a snowblower that was not running, couldn't start it for love or money to actually run. And
right.
All I did was pull the carburetor off, just cleaned, just sprayed it in all of the orifices, and then smacked it back on and boom, fired right back up. So
yeah.
So I have to laugh because I've used stable in it. And it must be a design flaw. There must be something going on with this carb on this thing. It's a Cub Cadet snowblower. It is also of the Mama Luke variety, because I thought a little bit differently when it came down to a snowblower. I wanted to get the biggest one I possibly could, because I don't want to get a small one that will do like light jobs, because I got this long driveway. So I wanted to get the biggest, largest thing I could find with the biggest hopper and use that on the small jobs as well. That was my rationale. But for some reason, that carburetor will literally there's something that will just gum up. And speaking of gumming up, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to go to what Ray calls the fun.
Yes, sir.
We're going to see if our phones are working. We're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Did somebody say small engine woes?
Small.
All right. We're talking to our good friend Gerhard from the Long Island Mini Bike Owners Association. Remember these
guys? How are you?
I'm hanging in there, fighting the nasty snow. Ray, you never finished the story. Did you actually? Were you actually able to move the snow with that machine, or not?
Hell no. You know, but you had to push. You got to make one swatch of a path, and then you could go and take like half cuts and make it move. So I did the minimal that I, because my back was screaming, and my sciatica started up again. I just had a shot in my arm. I got tendonitis in both my arms. I'm falling apart, man. Come on, I'm getting old. And I'm sitting here with you. I'm doing the shovel work and saying, hey, you know, my doctor told me, you know, guys of your age are in the right demographic for heart attack. Get the hell out of here.
Is that our favorite doctor friend?
Well, he warned me too, but he wasn't as bad. It was my other doctor. So, yeah, you got to, you know what?
Okay.
You got to be careful. You got to be smart, which is two things I've never been.
Without a doubt. Well, I got my own story to tell. I went through the same thing. I thought I kept mine. I have two errands, four-stroke, two-stage, big snow blowers. They're not the biggest, but, you know, about 7-8 horsepower, both exactly the same. One of them was at my folks down in Freeport, which I keep going every year, and the one I have up by me, up north here. And I got them both going. Of course, they still sputtered a little bit because no matter what you do, if you keep gas in it, even if you start it and replenish the gas over the season, if you let that stuff sit for more than a month or two, you know, you're going to have that that surging because crap gums up in the float bowl.
Yeah.
And as far as your gasket story is concerned, those gaskets, if you leave them soaking in gas long enough, they will swell up again. You know, you can reinvigorate them, but of course, it's always better to put new ones in. And
yeah.
I've learned over the years that when I go and order stuff, you know, small engine stuff, particularly just the rebuild kits, because I got a ton of Tecumsehs, I usually order several kits at once. You know, you can get them cheaper. Yeah. And then you can put them up on the shelf if you remember which shelf you put them on.
Right. Well, that's what I said, Gene. I looked up this part and I found, you know, it was a small engine. I bought a lot of small engine replacement parts from places in the Midwest, and they $2.08. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy. I'll be the guy. I'll buy like 10 of them, you know, and then I'll get rid of the snowblower. So
Listening to you is like listening to the same voice in my head every time I get caught short at the last minute, having to pay, you know, $12 for something that you can get for $1.50 on eBay. And, you know, it's true. Most of the outfits that sold small engine stuff are all gone. You know, I mean,
right.
There used to be three in the local area. Now, good luck. The only one that I know that's left nearby is the guy over in Malvern. You know, and I don't even know if the old man is still there. He was a real crotchety old so-and-so to deal with, but he had everything. And I have caught some deals over there. But, it's getting tougher and tougher to keep these parts going. Well, when I finally got my snow blowers running, they both ran well enough to move snow, but they weren't moving this stuff.
No.
I was struggling. I got a couple of paths, and I finally threw my hands up in the air. Thankfully, or maybe thankfully, my guy in the yard brought his machine back, so I grabbed the Bobcat and cleaned out the yard of the shop, cleaned out my driveway, the neighbor's driveway. But I have a loathing for Bobcats. I like cat skid steers because of the controls, but Bobcats, you can keep them. If anybody's ever operated them, they know the difference. If it comes with the original tank Bobcat controls, they're horrendous. I mean, if you get used to it, I guess you can get used to anything, but I'm spoiled, you know?
Right.
Cat equipment is so much better. One of these days, when I get another 10, 15 grand burning a hole in my pocket, I'm going to pick up a skid steer.
Right. So. Yeah, just to back up a little on your story, when I used a guy over at Levittown Mower. They're on Center Lane there in Levittown. Now, you know, old school shop. Guy's about our age.
Right.
So he's old. And, you know, he asked me, he dealt with a gentleman in front of me who was older and kind of knew what he was doing. So, you know, I saw the way he treated him. And then I said, okay. I said, you're going to love this. I had the carburetor with me. I brought the carburetor. I said, ooh, get the rebuild kit for this. I said, it's Tecumseh. He says, oh, let me see. He goes in the back. He says, well, let me see if I got it. He comes back with a bag. He says, you going to do this yourself? I'm like, yes. I said, I've been doing this. You never want to push your credentials on somebody you don't know, because then you come off as being like, who the hell are you?
Like a radio talk show host.
Exactly. So he was very busy, but I guess it tickled his fancy enough to quiz me a little bit. And he said, well, what's wrong with this thing? You know, I'm like,
ooh.
So I said to him, shrinkage. I said, I stored it, you know, I used StarTron and things, stored it dry. I said, haven't used it for 2 years, and now the bowl gasket and the intake gasket is shrunk. And I said, you know, and to your point, Gerhardt, I actually looked at them. I was going to measure them. I was going to take out the veneer and measure them, because I could see visibly that it was smaller than the old one was smaller than the new one. So it shrunk appreciably. It didn't, you know, it was enough. And once, you know, he kind of vetted me out a little bit, and he said, then I guess he went in his brain and he said, all right, you know, 15. The guy behind you, the next guy might have been 25. Who knows?
Right, exactly. Yeah, he probably took some price numbers off.
Well, one thing you got to be careful. I mean, when they are good and viable and you're rebuilding the thing, or even if you do the quick rebuild, which, you know, I wind up doing every year, which is basically you drop the float pole, drop the float out with the needle on it, and you blast the Burka bile or whatever, trying not to spray it in your eye, and get it up, you know, up into the main jet holes and every orifice that you can spray out. Putting that gasket back on the bowl is a chore.
Yes, it is.
New, it's nice. If it's new, it's nice because you can stretch it around the air horn of the, well, not the air horn, the bottom of the carburetor where the bowl goes in.
Right.
And it'll stay.
Right.
But if it's already wobbly and swelled up and you try and sit it in the bowl and push it up into it, it'll invariably roll over and drop into the bowl. Believe me, I've spent frustrating hours trying to get.
You're right, because what happens is this fuel bowl, as the sides of the fuel bowl come up, they flare out. So it makes that, when you tighten that down, it makes that gasket a flared, like a 45-degree flare. And that's a nice surface to slip and slide and fall in. You're exactly
and
right.
And I hate to tell you how many times I had to roll around and drop in the bowl. It was just it's wet, it's cold. It's not good.
It never fails. The one thing you got to be careful is also if it's an old Tecumseh, and it's adjustable, you want to be careful when you tighten up that the mixture screw. There's a little ball in there.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful that you don't dent it or pinch it. If I remember correctly, you're supposed to hold it upside down so that it drops out of the way when you put the screw back in, and then you adjust it normally as it's running. Yeah. But But I'm telling you, I couldn't see moving any of this stuff with either my. I have an old white. Single stage, you know, two stroke that runs like a, you know, rape tape, but it wouldn't have made a dent in this stuff. The only thing that would move it is a plow. And unfortunately, the one machine that I've been working on, I haven't got back together again. I got a Cub Cadet, a 125 with the hydrostatic drive.
Uh-huh.
I had the engine rebuilt, and I'm trying to get it together, but you know, life and family gets in the way of all your fun projects. You know?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, you know, one more fun little tip about these little Tecumseh carburetors. They supplied in the kit what looked like a little donut. Maybe it had a thickness. Maybe it was about 85 thousandths tall, and it was round with a hole in it. That's the seat for the needle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's very, very important.
Oh, yeah.
9 times out of 10.
That's what
gives you your worst performance. The best way to get that thing out is to get some compressed air with the old-fashioned non-regulated air gun and just, you know, hold it over a cup or hold your hand over it and, you know, blow some of that high-pressure air right through the fuel fill, and it'll pop right out.
I did use a dental pick with a curved edge and got in there, but for installing it is no joke either, because what I ended up using was a drift punch with a flat end to kind of push it, because this thing wants to twist and turn every which way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't want to go in straight.
Yeah.
Then I took the old needle valve and put it on top of that seat and pushed on the old needle valve to make sure I seated it. Because lo and behold, when I looked inside my carburetor, I didn't have one. It disintegrated. It was gone.
Wow. Yeah.
So
I've had that happen too. I've bought new carburetors that didn't have it in there.
Oh my gosh!
That's the one thing you got to check. You got to be careful. I mean, I've seen guys take them out with drywall screws, and if you don't have a replacement, that thing is done once you put a drywall screw into it and yank it out. So
that's too big. Yeah.
Best thing to do is to do what you did. You know, if it's still there and it's destroyed, blow it out, put the new one in, and use a flat-headed drift punch or a nail set or something that'll push it all the way in and make sure.
Right,
it's seated all the way. Otherwise, the float will be completely out of adjustment because the needle hits it, and it's, you know, it's going to run like a you know what.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here's another tip: those the dental tools. I've gotten them from my dentists, and I've asked over the years because they have broken ones and they can't use them, and they'll usually give you the broken ones if they know you. So, but I did find out once: be careful how you ask for them, because at one time I needed them for a project I was working on, and the dentist said, "Oh yeah, well, you know, what are you going to use these for?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually cleaning up a gun barrel." And they're like, "What?" And he was like, "You know, he like held me back." I'm like, "It's legal. Don't worry, it's registered." And like, we're not talking like guns to Mexico. So tell him like you're working on anything else, snowboard, just Yeah. Well, watch how you ask for this stuff.
That's hysterical.
All right, G. Thank you very much for the call, brother. Keep in touch.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks. We'll all talk right. to you soon, bye-bye. G. Bye-bye. 516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio. We still have some time to take your calls.
We do, and I want to tell you a story about my big snowblower. It's a quickie. It's something that we'll handle it later. It's one of those
Okay. You want to tease it, go into a break, and we'll tease it coming out?
We'll talk about it when we come back. So it'll be quick. But do we have an honor group of the hour today, Chris?
Of course we do. Does the Pope poop in the woods? Of course we do. The Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour this week. If you like to decorate your vehicle for the holidays, of course, right? Does the red nose on the grill and the antlers on the roof appeal to you? Do you have interesting spots on the car to stick some candy canes? Do you dress your smart car in a beard and a Santa hat? Well, if rolling Christmas cheer appeals to you, or even if you were talked into it by your significant other, you are part of the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. And if you're in my neighborhood, you don't say ho ho ho, you say yo yo yo.
Oh yeah, your neighborhood now, right?
Now, right?
We can grow up.
No, up here you go, yo, yo, yo.
That's it.
That's right. Ho, 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 Raymond.
Said Thurston Howell III.
Yes, everybody does talk in their chin.
All right, so Chris Switzer, Reg Warino, we're going to take a break, bottom of the hour. We'll be back after we play a couple spots, and I'll tell you the story about my then new big snowblower and how I was kind of duped or fooled, if you will, when we're back in a couple of minutes on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kaye, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice, the Motormouth guys.
Oh, yeah, those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn it on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. Yo, you better, I'm here, give him a karate chop.
That's right.
Give him a karate chop.
All right.
Give him an F5. I love it.
Man, dude.
It's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy. That was
amazing.
My favorite caller
of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognize them a little.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
And we are back on Motormouth Radio. You've stayed with us. Thank you for that. On 90.3 WHPC with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. You can call us at 256-9510, of course, in the 516 area code, where we'll talk about all sorts of... usually when we talk about small engine stuff and ceiling fans, we do get a... we do get some feedback, so.
Oh, I'm always impressed whenever we talk to someone that is, what would you say, a specialist in whatever we're speaking about. I think that's awesome.
Right.
I always love that we do know professionals in this business, and they listen to us, which is unfortunate, but they do.
Yeah, no, very true, very true. So quickly, let me tell you the story about this. I bought that big new snowblower, and you know, it's electric start, the whole thing, it's great, works fine, but I plug it in. Okay,
yeah.
I would plug it in, and now we're going to be plugged in again.
Right. Let's go to the phones.
Gotcha.
Let's go to the fun. And let's say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
What's up, Chris? It's Paul.
What's up, my brother? How are you?
Not much. I'm okay. Just working on the mess around my snowblower.
What are you doing to your snowblower?
Right now, I'm actually making a belly pan for it. Never had one.
Oh, okay.
Really?
The pan underneath. You know, if I hit deep snowbanks, the drive starts to slip.
So you're making like a skid plate for it.
Well, there's a pan that closes off the bottom, and this snowblower, obviously somebody had worked on it because, you know, I got it used.
Right.
And we've never had a belly pan. So I think 20 years later, I might as well make a belly pan for it now.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Do we ever get anything new?
No.
No. Look, the garbage pick is deluxe over here. You know, it's like, geez, you throw it out, I'll fix it. Basically, that's the mantra.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about this one is I had a small, kind of one of those push snowblowers, like, you know, like you were talking about, the two-stroke. But it was an older one, all metal with a metal auger. And it was a good machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happened was Rose and I were, home. This was before we even had the kids. And I did the snow. We had a snowstorm. I did the snow. So after that, we jumped in the car to go to the diner, grab a bite to eat. I get three blocks down. I see somebody threw out a big two-stage snowblower.
Oh, geez.
I'm like, take the car home. I'm dragging that home.
She's just good. Ride it to the diner, too. I'll be eating.
Yeah, she was like, I'm so embarrassed. But, you know, 20 something years later, that machine's still going.
Wow.
And she's still embarrassed.
And she's still embarrassed, yes. You know, but no, the funny thing, I have a funny snowblower story for you, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I fixed my neighbor's snowblower. He has a similar 5-horsepower Sears, you know, two stage. So it has those little, you know, those little plastic fuel valves with the little red lever to flip it on and off.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
You know, they have little, you're right. So his was leaking. So in my stash, I keep a bunch of those, but I had one left. So I fixed his machine. He took it nice and happy. The snow comes. I bring my machine. Night before the snow, I bring my machine in. I put gas in it, you know, to test it. I turn the fuel valve on. It's leaking.
Yeah. Oh, no.
One. But, of course, I gave him my last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished, Paul.
Right. Long story short, I pulled his out of the garbage and to see if they come apart. And luckily, I was able to snap it apart. And what it has is it's got a little square-cut O-ring inside. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what material it's made out of, but it's same thing. It kind of swelled up and got all soft. You know, so digging through my stash of garbage, I found a square-cut O-ring, and I popped mine apart. I was able to fix the stupid thing, and it doesn't leak. How long that's going to last, I don't
know. Well, those are the lengths we go to make something work. And the same thing, I was thinking about making an O-ring for this fuel bowl. Again, I have round O-rings. I'm thinking, am I going to sit there with a razor blade and try and cut this thing? And I was like,
oh, forget it. That's a losing proposition.
No, I wouldn't have done that. I just got lucky. I just, you know, whenever I come across something and it's got loose O-rings, I have an O-ring drawer. I throw them in there because you never know when you're going to need.
Yes.
Right.
Whatever. And I just happened. I didn't even know I had them. I was going. I said, wow, look at that. Square cut O-rings. I got lucky.
Wow.
You know, but, you know, the funniest thing is I didn't have much trouble like with the snow because the issue I had was my stupid belt started to slip once I got out into this stuff.
Yeah.
I've been having issues with the belt slipping. What I didn't know all the years, 20 years I owned this snowblower, and I always, you know, tried to adjust the belt, tighten it up. I did not know that the arm, the idler on them, you know, that with the idler pulley on that moves over when you engage it. I didn't know that arm is slotted. You can't see the slot.
Okay.
So, mine was set all the way back.
Oh.
So I ended up, you know, loosening the bolt, sliding the roller up, and my freaking past 2-3 years of belt slippage is gone.
You know, I've had that happen to me where I've owned a piece of equipment or whatever, or something for many, many years, and only found out like 20 years later, like, oh, it does that.
Yeah,
what was I looking at?
Yeah, it happens.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It's
unbelievable.
But I'll tell you, it's pretty funny. This blower, I mean, when I got it, it had no engine on it. So, you know, over the years, you know, I pieced together an engine and stuff. You know, I had one engine on it, then I built a new engine for it. So I got a five horse to come. So, you know, your typical, you know, Snow King motor that I basically scrapped together from two $5 motors I picked up at English Town.
Wow.
Right.
And, yeah, But I did a bunch of mods. You know, I used to race go-karts and stuff when I was a kid. Yeah. So I did a bunch of mods to this motor.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the snow out here, like you said, that slush, yeah, was no match for this thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was amazing. It just cuts through it. It's incredible.
Wow.
My problem was the snowblower likes to ride up on it.
Yeah.
That was my problem, too. That's how I knew. And this, I have one of those Mama Lukes, too, and it would ride right up on the snow. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. That's the problem when I use the big machine. I literally have to fight it. And I get more of a workout. I mean, yeah, move snow, but it's like it beats the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what they did? They sell snowblower weights to put up on the front of the chute.
Okay.
Know, on the front of the thing. They sell like a big bar, like a 30-pound bar.
That would help.
I'm just gonna wait till I find. Yeah, well, I'm gonna wait till I find a few metal gym weights.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna bolt them right. You know, you have the holes on the side where the drift breakers go. I'm just gonna bolt them. I'm gonna bolt them right to that. Put some weight in the front,
which is even better because this way, when it goes to the side, you hit your own car. Now you can reinvent it with something of value.
Right when you take down your mailbox.
Exactly.
Oh man. All right, Paul. Thanks for that insight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right,
all right, guys, I'm gonna let you go. I'll finish my belly pan.
All right, good luck.
Talk to you soon, my brother. So be safe. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
516-256-9510 is the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motor Mouth Radio, where the phones are cooking and shucking and jiving and all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, so you were saying your refrigerator that you were, your snowblower refrigerator.
Another thing people should check is on YouTube, Motor Mouth Videos, where we have, you know, some new stuff up this week. We have a couple of things up that are new.
Yes.
We're keeping topical. We're keeping fresh. So people want to watch that. But yeah, I had this new machine. And like I said, it's pull start and electric start. So it did pull start. But when I went to electric start and it would kind of work and not work. It was kind of unsystematically not. And I thought maybe there's a problem. So I looked at the starter.
Yeah.
The connections, everything looked fine. And I said, hey, you know, I have an extended warranty. You know, let me call Sears and have them deal with this.
And this is a new machine now.
This was brand new. With, you know, this is going back a number of years. I've had this
for
a while. And they said, okay, we got to bring it to a service center. Well, this is a big 8.5 horsepower, 2-stage, 7-speed Mamaluke. So basically what I had to do is get our buddy Kilowatt Kevin, because he had a van, and we put some ramps up and literally walked this thing up into the van, trucked it out there, left it. The guy calls me a couple days, says, listen, I'm sorry. I really can't find anything wrong with that. I'm like, wait a minute. Listen, this thing is definitely intermittently not starting with the button. It's like dead. And I said, maybe it's because you're inside. All right. Well, I go out there again. We got to arrange with Kevin in a van. We go back, look at it. He shows me, push the button, try it, push it. Yeah, it worked every time. Okay, bring it home. Next time I went to use it, I tested it, and it worked. Oh, good, fixed. Then I tested it again, and it didn't work. I'm like, oh, boy. Well, this went back and forth like 3 times. And, of course, I got to bug Kevin to use for the van and all because he can't put this thing in a car.
Sure.
Bottom line, it was user error, and it was so stupid.
What?
Yeah, because it was brand new, and as Joe will attest, it was new. Never, ever worked.
That's right.
But that also goes to another side with this, too. The power cord that I was using was also brand new, and it's a female end on one side and a male end for the wall.
Got it.
It wasn't real. And the one the guy at the shop was an old, used one. I think I tried one of my extension cords. It wasn't seating into the electrical part of the blower because the plastic was so new. Like I'd push it in and feel it was tight, but it needed to go more.
Right, right, right.
When I took an older cord that was worn, boom, went right in, started everything. So it was my fault. And I felt like such a jerk. I said, hey, that can happen because you plug the cord in, you feel it, it's tight. You push the button, it don't work. Hey, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So always double check. You know, that was, I felt like an idiot, but it happened.
That's funny. Cause I thought the same way. It's funny you should bring that up. When I had that power antenna issue, one of them didn't work. And when I got the replacement and I went through it and I'm like, it was kind of weird because you had to hold 2 wires onto the power source and then to get it to go up and then remove 1 wire to get it to come back down again. And I'm thinking to myself, did I do that on the one that I thought didn't work?
Right, right.
I'm like, did I go through all this heartache for absolutely nothing? And I went to the old one, and it's like you're going through, you're fiddling real fast, and you hook up the power source to the two wires, and it's like, oh, good, it doesn't work. Okay, good. So it wasn't me.
Right. And I tell you, yeah, this stuff happens. And you know, people have said to me, why do you bring that up? Like, listen, we bring up more of our
breakfast
bad stuff than our good stuff on this show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, you want, you know, I love the fact that there are shows out there and there are programs where everybody does everything right and cars are restored in 2 weeks. Like, don't you love those shows where they come in and all the guys, everybody's getting together, everybody, big talk up, come on, we're going to go repair this car. And they fix it within 2 weeks and here comes the owner. Oh, my God, what a wonderful car. Yeah. Is that real life? I don't think so.
Right. So, and to that note, like I said, we don't really celebrate our wins here because we're kind of a shy bunch. But one thing I will bring up, and it's always okay to do it for somebody else, and I will do it. People should go to Motor Mouth Videos on YouTube and watch the latest. There's a new promo that you made, Chris. You used to make a promo, so for people who don't know, we'd make them every 3 months. They were culled from clips of callers, and it would be played before the radio show.
Right.
And you just made another one for the show, which, of course, for me, it's like old home week because I love it. And people Thanks. Should go to Motor Mouth Videos. It's you'll listen to it and see the brilliance, because it really is brilliant. It's a great, you do a very, very good job. And
thank you.
I want everybody to hear that, because, hey, people may find out that they're on it and they don't even know it.
That's the whole idea, and that's what we love to do. We like to get that. We'd like to get the listeners involved. We appreciate the listeners, and it's like our internet know-it-all says, we don't want the listeners to make the same mistakes we do, but we also want them to know that we appreciate them. And when we put them on the promo, they are truly the best part of this show, if you ask me personally. And when I listen to some of those bits and some of those snippets of brilliance from our callers, it's a true joy. It's a true joy to put together, and this was no different. I enjoyed it immensely. I missed it for a long time, and because it's like Earhart said, it's life gets in the way. You know, next thing you know, life gets in the way. So when I had that moment of clarity and creativity,
yeah. It's got to be right. It's got to be right. You know.
Yes.
And I know, like I said, for me it was it hard. We should we have all the old ones saved. We should maybe we should put those up, you know, in an archive so people can find them on either on YouTube or on Spotify. We have a Spotify playlist too for the holidays. You can go on there and look for Motor Mouth Radio and find our holiday playlist. There's also a video that went up to announce it.
I'll tell you, this is something that I found. It's like audio crack. And here's the reason why. Because I cannot listen to just one promo. And I've done them.
I know.
And there's about 12 or 13 of them now. And this will be the 14th. I've done them. And I still cannot just listen to one. It's like Lay's potato chips. It's like you can't eat just one. You can't listen to just one promo. You got to listen to them all. And that has been it. I was listening to them all just before we went on the air today.
Right. Yeah, they're great. They're fantastic.
Thank you. And the funny thing is, this is what I truly enjoy about them. They're funny.
Yeah.
They're funny. Not because I did them, because they're funny.
Well, you know, the callers are funny in the moment, but when they're assembled in a way that flows, it's a whole nother kind of funny. So
right.
Let's go to another kind of funny on the phones.
Yes, and see if we can get some potential promo material and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic.
What's up, Vic?
Same old, same old. Snowblower story.
Sure.
I keep it on the front porch because I used to keep it in the garage, so I'd have to walk 100 feet in the snow to get the snowblower out.
Yeah.
So every once a month, July, August, September, October, and November, start it up, ran it up and down the driveway, put it away.
Wow.
Snow comes, I get it out the door, 5 feet, it dies.
You need snow in July.
Yeah, yep. It would only run off of prime, so I had to drag it back in the ports and shovel it by hand.
Oh,
I got a mobile guy coming.
If there's anybody in the world, my patience.
Right.
Yep.
If there's anybody in the world that I know that should have a V8 snowblower like you see on the internet, it's you. You should. should have one of them.
Yeah.
That you can fix with a hammer.
Yeah, exactly.
Drive it to work.
I don't know. It just had good gas in it and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whatever. I got a guy that comes with mobile service. I'm going to let him do it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll burn the carburetor off and try to weld it back on.
Right, right. Right. And let's face it, we have to be mindful that at our ages we could get hurt in a number of different ways shoveling that snow. So you got to be careful, you know. It creeps up on you.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough. I was shot for the day, but that's how it has to be.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. That's
funny, cuz that thing has only been used 4 times. It was a brand new machine.
Well, there's one word for that. There's one word for that, and it's called ethanol. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the beginning and the end of the story.
Yeah, it disintegrates everything.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yep. I don't know what it was, but I was thinking I'm going to throw some dry gas in it, or I don't know. I was thinking a thimble full of nitro from your jar.
Well, right. Yes, because Vic knows I do have a bottle of nitro in my garage.
I'm thinking that'll go right through the pavement into the dirt, you know?
Right.
He'll fire up then.
Hey, it'll be fun to watch. Just make sure you film it, videotape it.
As a rod comes through the head or something like that.
Exactly. You
know? Right.
Yeah. Wow. I'll get Christian to build me like a 750 for it or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. A cloud of snow at about 100 miles an hour.
Right. He would do it too. Believe me, if anybody would, Christian would.
Yeah. Surprised he hasn't chimed in.
No, he's probably busy.
Probably out there listening. We know that.
He's probably doing something creative today, and you know that's worthwhile.
Yep. All right, I'm going to hang up. Maybe you can get one more caller in. All right, guys.
Thanks, Vic, for the story. We'll talk soon. Bye bye. 516-256-9510, the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio to tell us all about your snow blowing escapades. I had a laugh because I had to do my neighbor's driveway across the street. I saw him; he was having snow blower issues as well, so he came out with the shovel. I'm like, I can't let him do that, so I fire up the snow blower and I head out and I go right into across the street into his driveway. It's like, here comes the cavalry, and we're going back and forth, and we're trying to talk to each other while the snowblower is running. And as you know, I'm deaf. I can't hear. So I shut it off, and we talk, and he says, do you need any gas in there? And I'm like, no. I said, I just filled it up. We're fine. I says, I just did my driveway, but it should still have gas in it. Don't you think I don't check? No, of course I don't check. So I fire it back up, vroom, and I get about 5 feet before it goes, blah, blah, blah. Then I check.
Right.
I open it up. I look. I'm like, "Hey, you got some gas?"
Yeah. So wait a minute. Let me just to go back to a conversation we had a week or two ago about that particular guy across the street. I hope he's listening.
You never know.
You were talking about, you know, what makes a car guy and who are car guys in the neighborhood. Well, I think in this instance, in this case, your car guy cred just went up a bit, and his might have gone down a little bit.
Why is that? Because of our
snowblowers? Had the working snowblower.
No, it's funny because he does not self-proclaim himself as a car guy. He says no.
Oh, but you did.
He tries.
You did. You called him somewhat of a car guy. He said,
well, I think he knows which end of a wrench to use. I've had friends that call themselves car guys that tried to put the spark plug in the top of the head upside down. And then they look up at me and go, is this the way it goes? No. The white stays on the outside. The white doesn't go in the engine. Yeah. You know? So funny. I've had car guys like that that I've had to deal with. But he has a little bit more smarts than that. But he also holds his hands up, and he knows where his line is. Let's put it that way. And he rarely will cross over it, but he knows where his line is.
Right.
And that's fine because, you know, it comes down to, and you know this all too well, it comes down to you become the answer man. And that's what happens. You're out there working. And this is what I find a little interesting about my driveway now, because my driveway in Brooklyn, you were kind of sequestered in the back behind the garage. Not many people knew you were there unless you walked up to the gate. And yours is the same way. You close everything up. You could still be outside, but you can close yourself up and you're not really seen. Someone has to deliberately walk up your driveway, get to your gate, and look.
And if you don't think it was done that way on purpose, you're because then you're like my neighbor who finds up, he walks up on you in a nice warm summer night down the driveway where I can't see him, and he comes into the lit garage and surprises me, and he gets drawn on.
Yes. Yeah, that would be a problem. Stuff gets thrown at you at that point.
No, I drew on him, and he looked at me like, and I said, don't ever do that.
No, that is safety. That's something that is safety. We don't want our callers to even go anywhere near that. No, right. you make your presence known when you're walking up a driveway. You rattle some stuff.
Especially at night.
Yeah. Yes, especially now you cough. Right. Make your presence known when you're stepping up to a lit garage. But that is the truth. That's an important safety tip from your friends here at Motormouth Radio. There's a disclaimer. But basically, my area is not like that. You could see from down the block if I'm working out on the cars out. So it's kind of funny when you become the shell answer man from the car. So people.
Fence.
Yeah, people step up. They're like, "Hey, can you ask me? I got a question about the blip and blip, whatever it is." And it's like, "Okay, got to stop what you're doing." You walk over to now you step into my office, which is at the mailbox. Now with COVID and all, this is where my office is, and we're all 10 feet. I'm 10 feet back from the mailbox. They're 10 feet forward from the mailbox in the street. We have our conversations about what's their problem is. Check this. Check that. But yeah, it's turned into that. I've become the shell answer man up here in the Ozarks or in the Nutmeg State, I should say.
Cool. So closing thoughts, we're going to have to get out of here because Kim's going to come in and do Thunder Road, the best of Springsteen and anyone who ever played with him. So any closing thoughts, Chris, before we wrap this soiree?
I hope this snow melts, but unfortunately up here it's snowing right now.
Yeah, we had some snow, now it turned to a little bit of light rain. So
yeah, well, your light rain is our snow.
I know.
Hey, just want everybody to have a great holiday because I think this is the week, right? This is Christmas. This is Christmas week.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. This is Christmas week, so everybody have a safe, happy holiday, and I hope everybody gets what they want. And when we come back with our next version of Motormouth Radio next Sunday, we'll talk about all the tools that we've received or whatever have you.
Yeah. We have one page left on the calendar, but there's one week left. Next week is still the last week, so we before we turn that page. So we'll from us to use. Have a great holiday season, and we'll see you next week. So for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino saying have a happy holiday, and we will catch you next week on Motormouth Radio. We're out of here.
And remember, don't follow us home unless you can shovel our driveway.
On 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.